talking today with the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, second term in that role, Chairman Frank Lucas from Oklahoma's 3rd Congressional District. Mr. Lucas, congratulations on being named chairman once again for 2013-2014.
Oh, thank you, Ron. Being a fifth-generation farmer from western Oklahoma and ag econ graduate from Oklahoma State, it's nice to be able to put the experiences and the education to work in this role, and the confidence of my conference leadership for another 2 years as chairman of the Ag Committee.
I do have to say that I think you did a little bit better job than Mr. Peterson on pronouncing the names of your new members. Maybe you had an easier list. I don't know.
Well, it just shows how many new members there are once again on the Ag Committee, and as we gear up to address all the things that need to be done, have to be done, will be done in this session of Congress, we've got some new faces to work with and to bring up speed.
One thing that Mr. Peterson mentioned with his opening comments I thought was very, very enlightening. He indicated that he had had a conversation a couple of times, in fact, just in the last little while with the speaker, and kind of seemed to be saying we'll work something out in regards to trying to get regular order moving on a farm bill this go around in 2013. Your thoughts about what Mr. Peterson was saying, and you know, anything that you've had in conversations with John Boehner, Eric Cantor, and the like.
I think what Colin was reflecting is the ongoing effort that both he and I have been engaged in, trying, whether it's the Speaker, the Majority Floor Leader, the Whip, trying to get the attention of leadership, of the Majority Leadership, and to get them to understand that while there are a lot of important things going on here, budget issues, CRs, and sequestration, and war and peace, nonetheless, a comprehensive farm bill affects not only everybody in rural America that produce that food and fiber, but every consumer. Colin has been very, very focused on the dairy portion of the bill and has spent a lot of time, in particular, trying to work with the Speaker on that subject, because the Speaker did serve on the Ag Committee for, I think, 16 years perhaps. But I've also put my effort into that, and right now we are in a position where, like certain parts of the last session, it's hard to get the attention span of what I call management because there's so many things going on all around them simultaneously. But I'm optimistic we can get her done. We came very close in the last session, and even though we technically start over in this session of Congress with a brand new bill, a lot of work's been done. A lot of the hearings have been done. We just need to be given a little bit of a flexibility so we can do our work.
What, in your mind, what will it take to get, you know, the Speaker to sign off on allowing regular order to occur?
I think the first thing, Ron, perhaps is not so much the Speaker, but we are about to address the debt ceiling issue. You know, the federal government's now $16 trillion in debt, and the president can no longer write any checks in the checkbook. That's got to be addressed. We have these automatic cuts that were agreed to last summer, sequestration, huge effect on the military, but it also affects all of the non-nutrition portion of the farm bill, even the one-year extension of the farm bill. That's got to be addressed, and then the federal government is only funded for the first half of the year. That runs out in March. So I understand why management's consumed by all these other issues, but in that stage, Colin and I and the committee will get our new members up to speed. We'll do the preliminary work so that when people can focus around here on a variety of things, we'll be ready to go.
I take it that obviously you seem to be pleased with the statement that was made attributed to you in regards to the announcement by Mr. Vilsack and Farm Service Administration, FSA, in regards to the sign-up starting February 19th of the one-year extension, including for direct payments and for the acre program. Is that key to get this out in front of some of these fiscal discussions?
Oh, yes. It's important for a number of reasons. Number one, by extending the last farm bill from 5 years to six, you have to extend the safety net that's a part of it, and the direct payments are a big component of the safety net out there for production agriculture. So having the secretary follow the law and announce those sign-ups that will begin, and then people will be committed for this next year, that's a very important principle to tie down. Also, from the perspective of writing the next farm bill, that protects the budget baseline numbers, the money that's set aside for those direct payments this time, because we need that in whatever the next farm bill looks like, those resources to be available to craft the next safety net whether it's price protection or revenue protection, whatever the case may be, or a combination of the two, as we advocated in the House, we need that resource base to know we have something to work with. So the Secretary followed the law. I'm pleased with that. The Secretary now will make sure that producers have that safety net again for a sixth year. I'm extremely pleased with that. But it also creates a budget situation that makes it easier for the Ag Committee then when we do write the next farm bill that is ultimately passed all the way through and signed into law by the President. It makes it easier to have resources to craft that next farm bill.
At this point, would you envision probably some cuts to this this current year that folks will be signing up for here starting February 19?
I wish I had a crystal ball that was clear enough to look in and say one way or the other. I think we start off on the assumption that by signing up for that direct payment that it's coming. We start off by assuming that the resources that are in crop insurance will be there. We start off with those assumptions. Who knows what kind of twists and turns the whole process will take. But if there are cuts in broad federal spending, whether it's sequestration or whatever the ultimate budget CR deal is, at least I'm confident this time that it will affect the whole of the federal budget, and that's better because as few of us as are out in the countryside now, you know, we become more and more of a political target because we have the fewest votes to cast, even though we still do one of the most important things for this country, which is feed the nation and the world. So, yes, every step down the road we go, I think, is that much better towards securing our resources. But there are a lot of things in play this year.
And some folks have suggested that, you know, in this next five-year bill that you would be writing with Mr. Peterson, with the Senate folks and whatnot, that you might actually have to squeeze in 5 years' worth of cuts or all the cuts that were embodied in the 2012 bill in that 2013 bill, even though you might have just 4 years of actual programs. How do you see this working out? Is this going to be just totally new, or how do you make this thing work?
From my perspective, that's part of why when this budget process sorts out over the next few months, that gives us a better lay of the land, a better perspective. Remember, the Senate hadn't passed a budget in 3 years. If they are actually forced to do one, which is well, the language that's included in the present debt increase ceiling we'll vote on this week, if they're forced to do it, then we'll actually have spending guidelines in both the House and Senate because we've been passing our budgets in the House. That'll give us a blueprint to work from. That along with how sequestration's addressed. Bottom line is this, Ron. There's so many pieces in play. Literally, I don't know. I don't believe we'll know the lay of the land for several months. That's why you didn't hear Colin or myself today in our business session call for an immediate markup, because I think it would be foolish to start down the process now when we just don't know what the obstacles are or what the opportunities may be yet.
So given that timeline, when do you think markup, you know, when's reasonable to expect markup then?
It's kind of like beauty being the eye of the beholder. I think Colin and I will know when it's time to go, but it can't be until there's some certainty through this, sorted out through this process. And I would tell you that February, March, April into May are going to be it's going to be a roller coaster ride up here on all the other spending issues and all the budget issues.
I take it really, it doesn't do you a lot of good to mark up anything until you've got a little certainty about how many dollars you have.
If we mark up a farm bill right now in the Ag Committee, and the final budget resolutions, the actual spending blueprint that lays out what the appropriators are going to do, literally makes dramatically different assumptions than we've done, then we'd have to go back and rewrite the farm bill. So I only want to do this one time in the 113th Congress, and that one time I want to get it all the way to the President's desk.
So very, very, very possibly we're talking markup, what, in the April, May, June time period then?
It is certainly possible, but that's also why it's so important that we have the one-year extension of the Farm Bill to carry the 08 Farm Bill through to the end of September in 2013. That's one thing I think producers can count on, and that we on the Ag Committee will fight to protect those resources that were committed to this now sixth year of a five-year Farm Bill.
The Obama administration, of course, getting reorganized with the inauguration this week. We do know the indications are that U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack is staying into the second term. Mm-hmm. Do you feel good about that?
I think that's good. No need to train a new secretary.
Obviously, we've got some other players that have been important to rural America, Lisa Jackson in particular, stepping down, a new EPA administrator. I take it that you'll get acquainted with them pretty quickly.
Oh, absolutely. Probably one of the liveliest hearings of the last session of Congress was when we had Director Jackson before us for a number of hours. I can assure everyone and whoever the new director is, he or she will spend a lot of quality time with the Ag Committee.
At this point, you know, your overall assessment, you know, you indicated we came so close. What if you look back, what would you have tried to do differently last year that might have gotten you across the finish line, or was there any way to really do it?
I don't think, Ron, in a presidential election year, in a year with so many new members, in a year, 2 year period when you had a divided government, a liberal president, a conservative House, nobody really in control of the United States Senate. I don't think there was any way to do it differently than we did. We preserved the framework in our House passed bill that gave options to all regions of the country that would have let everyone produce, would have kept, picked the programs that were best for them, would have kept the safety net. We did the best we could in the most difficult of circumstances. But I would also remind our listeners, you still have that same liberal president. You still have a conservative House. You still have a Senate where no one has a functioning 60-seat majority. This is going to be tough again for the next 2 years, but that's what the voters of the nation as a whole decided to do, to make a few minor changes, but to keep the main pieces in place as they were for the previous 2 years. Just means that I'll continue to enjoy a little Maalox every now and then.
One last question, sir. In regards to your home district, your home state, and of course neighbors over into Texas as well, and up into Kansas, even Nebraska, we are in definitely a real drought situation right now. The early indications are the tendencies are going to be out there to stay in the drought through at least maybe March, April, at the very, very least. Livestock folks, obviously, still out there without any sort of disaster assistance. You know, any way to work that in, you know, anything we can do to help some of these folks?
That is one of my highest personal priorities because, as you know, Linda Lucas and I live in the bullseye of the Southwest drought. We've started testing our water to see what the effects are of not having any rainfall to recharge those water tables. Linda's fed some of the cruddiest garbage in the last 2 years that was supposedly hay. I understand completely what my neighbors are going through, and I'm trying everything I can do to fill that hole that was created by the lack of funding in the fifth year of the old Farm Bill. This was before I was chairman or ranking member. The livestock disaster money was only funded the first 4 years of the five-year Farm Bill. And I thought Senator Stabenow and I had come to an understanding to fix that problem in the extension of the Farm Bill. But when the final draft was put together in the United States Senate, lo and behold, the draft money was not in it, and that's sad for Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, all of our Arkansas, all of our neighbors in the region.
And at this point, you're looking for a vehicle, I would assume.
A place, a way, and an opportunity. As I have said, if you crack that window when it comes to the drought disaster issues, I'll drive a freight train through it if I have a chance.
The chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Oklahoma 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.